When I was looking for a sponsor for this show, I was so excited to find out that my favorite offering maybe ever was available, and that's Audible. I have been using Audible for over 15 years, if not more. I have hundreds of books on there. I listen to audiobooks just as much as I listen to podcasts, probably, which is a lot. And I love, of course, reading physical books. I just don't make enough time for it right now. And I know that if I wait to make the time, then I won't be able to get to the book for a long time. So sometimes having the audio version available is really, really helpful. And then this is, I think, more relevant for the kinds of books that I would listen to, which are like a lot of spiritual teachings and maybe like business books and things that are not the nonfiction type. I do listen to nonfiction as well, but I definitely listen to the other books a lot more, at least historically speaking. So it was nice because a lot of times I could listen to the book. And then if I wanted to get the book later, the actual physical book, I could go through it as well. And I'd have a deeper understanding, especially when it was like a esoteric concept. I really loved that so much. I think that having the audio version of a book is so, it's such a wonderful offering because our culture moves really quickly. And it is really important that we sit and read physical books. However, it's also really good that we can listen to things and get that information still. And it's totally mind expanding when you have that availability, which is one of the reasons I love podcasts and that, of course, I'm sitting here doing it. So that's one reason I love Audible. I also really love it because I really feel like we have so many, again, messages that come at us all the time in culture. You know, our phones, our social media, the television, the radio, everywhere we go, there's somebody saying something. And I really believe it's important to curate what you put in your ears, and you actually have control over that. With something like Audible, you can really be specific, and it's very individual to you what you want to listen to and how you want to shape your mind and how you want to shape your point of view and what kind of other perspectives do you want to try on and see through somebody else's eyes. I think that that is an incredible practice to really expand your life in so many ways. And so I'm really excited that they are a sponsor of the show, and there's a link in the bio. They do a 30-day free trial, and then I think it's like $15 after that a month. And I'm telling you, it is one of my treasured collections that I have. It's been just incredibly impactful in my life in so many ways. I wouldn't be sitting here if I didn't have it. So I'm really excited about it, if you can't tell. And I hope you go ahead and use that link. And thank you for being here. And we'll see who the next sponsor is too. I'm only going to try to pick things that I really get excited about myself personally. And Audible 100% is one of them. All right, back to the episode. So this is a conversation with me and my best friend, future hubby, full of facts and information and interesting things to say, and get ready. Yeah, pressure's on.
Yeah, no, I feel very pressured.
Good.
I don't know if I have any facts like lined up, ready to go.
Well, they usually just come flying out of your head.
It's true. Probably something will spark.
Yeah. So I wanted to have you on. You know, for the people who are listening, I'm doing talking to people with unconventional lives, right? Unconventional life path. And I think that's something that you and I really resonated just before we even got together. Like as friends, we both looked at life that way. I feel I brought you over to my side. It was like, come and live really unconventional over here. But you know, we share a lot of similarities in terms of having autoimmune disease and obviously training in martial arts and wanting to really live our lives, you know, people say like to the fullest. I feel like that's like to its essence, you know, deeply living our lives, like deeply appreciating the time that we have here on earth to do something, you know, and it's something like from our souls, I feel like, as opposed to something that we need to achieve. I feel like it's something unique about how you and I approach things. Like, just take us living in our apartment right now, for instance. You know, we have grand plans of a home we want to build or whatever, but we're also like, let's make this place be a haven for us for the things that we're building creatively. Like, let's really like create an inspiring space in every way that we can right now in lieu of everything else we'll do in the future. And that's something I didn't see in my life before you and I in that sense. Like, that feels very special to me and has been really integral in helping with these next steps of like moving towards things that I've cared about, that I've been working on. But now I have a container that we have built that I really feel like I can flourish in. So
I think that actually really speaks to the power of podcasts, because back before we got together and I was just chugging away at my job at my dad's shop, and you know, I'm working 9 to 5 on my feet. It's a hard job.
Can you say what it is?
doing cabinets, cabinetry shop, and had a house, but I was working hard and getting nowhere. It just was like, you know what I mean? You're just barely paying bills. And then, you know, deep down you're like, okay, this can't be like the only way to live the rest of your life. But then because I was working on my feet and with my hands, I was able to listen to podcasts all day and, you know, consuming, lots of different podcasts from different people, and then hearing multiple people explain like their lifestyle, and you're like, oh, this guy's like successful and he does whatever the fuck he wants like half of the day, and then he does, you know, important work, but it's limited to like a certain amount of hours, and then the work-life balance is there. And I feel like that's not a major topic of conversation in society in general. It's like the whole 40-hour work week thing is arbitrary. It was invented by Henry Ford back in the day or whatever, you know, and people try to adhere to that standard, but it's not really necessary. You know?
Yeah, I agree. I think that, well, I think it's about like, I mean, you and I always talk about, especially because we've had our own ventures, right? You know, we had Hawker Tour, my old jewelry business that we ran when we moved here to Colorado, and which I had for a while and it did well and then it died and whatever. But I think that as it was fading too, and we were trying to find more resources about how to structure things. And then you just get bombarded with people being like, I podcast and I make 18 million figures every minute or whatever. And you're just like, okay, is there some example of where people are doing things that they care about that is, you know, that's wonderful if it becomes this like hugely sustainable success in that a way, but there's more to life than that, because that may require an imbalance in other ways in your life. Like, how do we just show up in our lives to do this right here, right? Like, we're doing this, and there's that balance of the essence of our life is not predicated on $1 billion success or 40 hours a week and like your standard kind of job. We like to find some kind of new space in between that most people don't usually entertain, because it kind of seems like one or the other. Like, I feel like people, and I mean, I've never really worked a very traditional anything, so this is my conjecture, but it seems as though it would be very appealing if you're in the 40 hour, you know, regular standard job to believe that maybe I could stop that and do this side hustle, make it into something huge and whatever. And that does happen sometimes. But I think that it's still kind of missing the point of the inspiration behind the why of what we're doing. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. I think the magic word though, out of what you said, is sustainability, right? It's like all of these, the ads that you see that are like, use AI to make $3,500 a minute or whatever, you know, it's always like so dramatic. And you're like, but if everyone, usually when you watch these things, it's like, okay, someone figured out a loophole how to make money online. And by the time they're telling people about it, it's over. No one else is going to get rich off of this one thing that the one guy got rich off of. And now he's like, I'm telling you the secrets, how to do all the, and most of it's nonsense. But I think that with sustainability, right, it's the way we approach our diets and the way we approach training martial arts and the way we approach most things is like, don't go so hard that you burn out, because that's the worst thing for long-term growth in any area is quitting, right? Or pulling back because you did it too much, right? So
totally.
Obviously I'm working on starting my own business right now.
Yeah.
Doing some woodworking on my own. And most people, when they start a business, it's like, you know, my dad included, who has a successful business, multiple. And he's like, you know, I worked 80 hours a week, never took a vacation, was just like constantly stressed out of his mind and doesn't know how to relax because his work became most of his life. So trying to build something from scratch with sustainability in mind, I'm looking to not work an 80-hour work week like most entrepreneurs who are like, you just grind like crazy. And then you're like, oh yeah, but then in 5 years I go, fuck this, I don't want to do it anymore. And you quit.
Yeah.
So instead, trying to build stuff, you know, having short-term goals, like aggressive short-term goals, but then long-term planning that is like, okay, if I want to get to here in this many years, it's like, okay, I have to hustle to get there, but you can't, you have to like space it out. You can't just hustle full speed ahead all of the time or it's not going to last.
Yeah. Like I feel like the extra money that you make from that is the price you pay for your soul in a lot of ways, you know? And, yeah. And of course this isn't a story for everybody, but I think that you and I both, again, like one of the reasons that I kept talking about wanting to do this podcast was really to speak to this kind of gap of like people who want to do something meaningful, but don't necessarily fall into either of those categories, you know, and like want to create something sustainable. And I like that you said aggressive short-term goals. Like, and you know, you and I constantly relate everything to jiu-jitsu. If this is just your first time listening to us, we both have a long-term training in martial arts, both black belts in Krav Maga, and your black belt in jiu-jitsu. I'm a brown belt. And we pretty much just love to use jiu-jitsu as a framework for everything.
It's the ultimate analogy. It really is.
It really is. Those of you who train jiu-jitsu, I'm sure you find yourself like, oh, this is just like in training. And I think, you know, when I'm teaching, we both teach as well. And I know when I'm teaching, I really try to instill what we talk about a lot, where it's like, okay, we both have autoimmune. So you've got type 1 diabetes and I have chronic Lyme disease. So we're both very high maintenance, low maintenance people, right? Like we're like, we need to make sure things are dialed in, but also let's be sustainable about it. Training doesn't always, we train what, like 4 or 5 times a week about?
Yeah, I would say 4 is probably like
it's the minimum the average.
Yeah.
So
sometimes 6, sometimes yeah. Only 3. So
it's, yeah. Let's say 4. Okay. So, but we're really adamant about like show up, you know, neither of us, if you ask either of us, well, sometimes you're usually more ready to fight people than us. Sometimes I'm like, all right, I don't feel like training tonight, but let's go. Cause I'm, you know, tired or sore or something. Not sore from necessarily working out, but just achy. Knowing that if you show up and you just put in that work, but it's not like I know for me, at least when it comes to training, I know that I'll make progress if I just kind of, and I've said this in another podcast talking about when I was taking ashwagandha, and I guess this, for me, this is like a way that I approach things. I kind of like set it and forget it. Like show up. These are the things you're going to do. You're going to do these classes, whatever, hit these like kind of markers. Do, you know, when I say like do your best, I feel like our culture is like do your best. And I'm just kind of like do it to where you can do it. That's what I mean. Whatever your best is that day, like do it to where you can do it that day. Maybe push a little edges here and there, but don't push it too far. And that's kind of how I have to approach that. And that's kind of how I approach, you know, what music, my music career and any other endeavor that I'm doing. I will show up, make the appointment, show up to it, put my effort in, and if I feel like I have that extra bit of energy in that reserve that's not going to deplete me or like set me over a boundary, then I will use it at that time. But that definitely takes some practice, I think, as a person and also just having autoimmune disease. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it does take a lot of practice, right? We've both been training for, I've been training for 15 years and you even longer, right? So, you know, it's hard for new people to like dial that idea in, especially if they're young and they feel invincible and they don't have to, you know, our autoimmune stuff like forced us to be sustainable.
Right.
Because it was like, you know, we like training. So how do I do this when I want to? And that means sometimes you have to do it when you don't want to.
Right.
Right. But just like, you know, any kind of like brushing your teeth, it's like,
taking showers, annoying, yeah.
But, you know, if you don't want to go to the dentist, that's what you do, right? So, and if you want to feel good training, sometimes you have to go when you don't feel like it. But doesn't mean you have to redline your body either. Same thing we're just talking about with work. It's like you do enough to get the job done, but you have to keep something in the reserves so that you're fresh for the next thing. So you're not burning out like immediately, you know, and it doesn't have to be like my plan with work so far is work a 30-hour week instead of 40. I feel like that's like pretty reasonable. I'm not, you know, I'm obviously not lazy. Mm-hmm. So, obviously, yeah. But that work-life balance thing is such a big deal with just that extra 10 hours is like, that's time to run and get groceries in the middle of the week or go to the bank or get a haircut or all of those things that would be so stressful to jam into a 40-hour work week. Now you have like extra, you have short, either shorter days or maybe I work 4 longer days and then 1 off, you know, you can kind of like, I can move things around, the advantage of having your own business. But I feel like that's all with longevity and sustainability in mind. That's like how we are approaching basically everything.
Yeah, it's funny when you say, I'm like, yeah, we basically approach everything like that. Because I think that it's a really good way to go about goal setting in general. I think our culture has a really toxic relationship with goal setting. Something I mentioned a lot in this is, in a lot of the podcasts, is how I've seen, for women at least, which is a lot of, you know, my Hawkator ex-Hawkator feed or whatever is all, that's pretty much my demographic there. And it's like, went from boss girl, everything was like push and hustle and blah. And then now it's like moss girl and I'm going to lay on the floor. And I get it. I was like, yes, moss girl life. I'm here for it. Sometimes, right? And I think that we were forced in our health situations to have to make adjustments at like pretty young ages. Like I know I got Lyme disease at 20, 21 or so. You got diabetes at 25, right?
25, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, it's like at the time you're like, fuck this. And then over the years, like now at least when we're a little bit older, we're able to see that like we had to find a different way to approach life. We just can't, like I don't really have the, it would redline me in probably a week to work what most people do for their like standard, you know, 40-hour week kind of thing. I had to find a different way to do something meaningful that I cared about and still, and I love, and I'm happy to work hard, you know? It's just sometimes the body isn't cooperating, you know?
Yeah. I mean, some people can do it, but you see so much of, well, I see it, you see it with work. It takes a little longer because it's not the same as training where it's like physical mm-hmm. output all the time. But with work, I mean, I think that's what the midlife crisis term pretty much refers to, people getting out of college, working a corporate-y type job, climbing the ladder, and then by the time they're like 45, they're like, fuck, I don't want to do this anymore. And
like, what is my life about?
Right, right.
You're not really in it. You're just like head down doing a thing.
And they just followed the plan, the societal standard that doesn't seem to really be good for anybody. I know very few people that work like a nonsense 9-to-5 and then are just like thrilled about the rest of their life. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Most people are complaining about their job. And I know that not everyone can have their dream job because the world needs janitors and things like that.
Maybe you just do that before your dream job.
Right.
That's
right.
What I've grown to think. It's, you do the shit job and then your dream job. Yeah, you need some bullshit in there.
It's a bummer to see both that group of people, right, that are 40s, 50s, whatever, and they're like trying to start a new career because they're like, I wasted a bunch of time. I kind of worry about some of my best friends with this because they're lawyers and actuaries and things like that that allowed them to get a nice house in a nice suburb and start a family. And, you know, they're all married and kids and all the American dream. But I am, knowing these dudes for a long time, I'm like, they're going to hate their jobs in a couple years. And maybe not for 10 years, but they're going to be like, fuck, this is not fun anymore. And, you know, work is always work to a degree, but having more autonomy over it. And then it's a bummer to see the same thing in training where I run, you know, I'm only 34, but I know a lot of 40-year-old grapplers and strikers who have only trained hard and now they can't really train anymore.
Totally.
And it's like a bummer because they're like, oh, you know, I used to be able to do this and used to be able to do that. And I'm like, I roll like I'm 50 now so that I can keep doing jiu-jitsu for a long time, because I don't want to get to 40 and be like, oh, I can't do that. That thing I loved for years is now just like a distant memory. Like, no, I want to do it as long as I can. So you got to learn how to do it now, the sustainability mindset.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, for anybody who is younger, who has autoimmune, it's some kind of challenge. It's like having you to like force you to approach life differently. Like, I think that's really where our stories hopefully resonate in that way, right? Like, we've really had to do things. Like, I took 10 years off of martial arts because I couldn't figure out a way to do it sustainably. Like, I only knew about explosive and like as hard as I can and like till I break and then keep going, you know? Like, it was so extreme. And I was afraid to come back because I was like, I can't hang with that. Like, I can do it sometimes, but I'm not going to do it every night, you know? And I think somewhere along the line when I did come back, and jiu-jitsu definitely helped with that. Cause again, even when I started jiu-jitsu, I was like still in the Krav mindset of like explode. And like, I'm like, what am I even doing? why wouldn't I just like get away from this person? You know, right. If like, why is this round 5 minutes? Didn't I do it? Didn't I like if I escaped, I'm like, aren't I done? You know?
Right. Yeah. That's probably one of the biggest differences with Krav and jiu-jitsu is right. Krav is like, you need to end this conflict
immediately.
Yeah. Everything's like almost 30 seconds or less.
Yeah.
But from the time something goes down to you like escaping or whatever.
Yeah, it's just like, here's the longest puzzle of all time.
Right. Yeah.
With your bod. And you're like, okay.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, and then just having to like be creative about that approach. Like, I guess, you know, just as words of encouragement, like there are ways to do whatever it is that you really like want to do or feeling like inspired to do. Like you said, if you can figure out a way, whether it's the way that we're talking about in terms of goal setting, like aggressive short-term goal setting, you know, and then long-term, more sustainable goal setting. And those things kind of like, I always look to weather as examples as well. There's spurts, right? There's massive storms that bring in tons of rain and then it's pretty chill. At least not here in Colorado. It tends to be like that. And then it's chill for a bit. And then, you know, it goes in spurts. And if you can find a way that you find your rhythm with whatever it is that you have going on, I feel like that really helps. And everybody's rhythm is individual, but our culture is so unhealthy in the practices that it offers. I feel like we're very fortunate. Like you said, podcasts, there are so many podcasts, and podcasts got me through so much. I mean, I've been listening to podcasts since they started, really. Working from home and being by myself a lot, you know, way before you and I met. And it would help me to listen to people who had just different perspectives, and like whether they were like spiritual teachers or like goal setting, like business thing, whatever it was helping me try on different mindsets, I guess I could say, like look at it through these eyes and look through these eyes and like see what worked to be able to come up with something that actually like felt sustainable. And I think that that's kind of how you find your rhythm with it. It is trial and error. But our culture, a lot of times, you know, we have filters for everything. And there's like little sound bites and little 5 things you need to know about that and 10 things you need to know about this. And I mean, even just like what we should be doing in the morning. You and I joke about how it's like you need to meditate, you need to journal, cold plunge, stare at the sun, go on a 10,000 step walk and make sure you lift, and also, you know.
Yeah, yeah. There's plenty of memes about, you know, the Andrew Huberman routine style, where it's just like one thing after another.
And there's value to all those practices, and you know, we don't even have, we got old cats who definitely need something every 15 minutes. I'm surprised no one's screaming right now, but you know, if you have kids, like that adds a whole nother layer. If you got multiple kids, it gets crazy. So I think it's, going back to the sustainability thing, like identifying what's important to you. You could even do it week by week. Or one of the reasons I work with moon cycles a lot is because it's a month period of time. Or even if you did every 2 weeks, you have a new moon and a full moon. So every 2 weeks, you know, you can give yourself some kind of cycle to go by that gives you some kind of measure. I think I even more gravitate towards the solstices and the equinox, because it's very much, and you, I think you've joined me with this, where it's like the turning of each season, and you kind of go like, all right, that was a chapter, like the winter chapter and the spring chapter, and setting some goals there, because that's a really nice chunk of time. It's, you know, 3 months, right? So you get 3 months to kind of goal set, plan, problem solve, fuck things up, fix them, learn, whatever. But having some kind of rhythm like that, I think is really, really helpful when you do live an unconventional life path, because there really isn't framework. There's framework if you dig for it, right? If you look for it and you really like parse things out, but there's also a lot of bullshit that will again, send you in extreme directions. And when there's extremes, you gotta like, just keep your head on a swivel about it, because, that's not usually sustainable, and it might work in a burst, but not necessarily in the long term.
Yeah. I mean, that applies to so much the whole society not being set up to like help those things. I really didn't realize it until I was hit with, diabetes and had to go back. I was in the hospital for a brief period of time. I was actually like kind of changing jobs at the same time. I went back to work at my dad's shop right after I got out of the hospital, basically.
Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
Yeah. I was working at the podiatrist's office where my mom worked.
Oh, right. Okay.
Biggest Medicare fraud case in history or whatever. Oh, my God. I went to jail, practice went under. So I went back to work at my dad's shop, even though I went to college for marketing and I was going to do business or something. I don't even know what my plan was, but I know that my dad needed the help and I worked there in high school. So I was like, oh, I can jump in and help with cabinetry stuff. I already had like 3 or 4 years almost kind of spotty work experience there. But when I went back, the hardest thing with the autoimmune disease was getting up and getting there on time every day, which obviously most people struggle with getting to work in the morning to a degree, unless they're a morning person. I've never been a morning person, so it was always a little tricky. But then specifically to have like out of control blood sugar and have to wake up and get ready and go and like be ready to operate machinery like in the morning. Yeah. So
I knew, low stress.
Yeah. I knew pretty right away. I was like, this isn't sustainable. I can't make it here and feel good every morning at 8 o'clock. Like it just was not manageable. There was just days where, granted this was early on, I'm much more able to get up consistently now, but at the time it was like, I would wake up and feel horrible and it's like, how am I supposed to get to work? So, and that, granted not a lot of people have type 1 diabetes, but if you added up all of the possible health ailments that give somebody a rough morning, it's probably like a majority of the country is like really scrambling hard. And it's like taking years off of their life just to get to their job in the morning. And you're like, wouldn't it be better if places started at 9 instead of 8? You know what I mean? They did those studies with school, I think, right? They pulled back. They had kids start school later and go a little later.
Kiddos definitely need it. It's like scientifically shown that their sleep cycles are different. Like they're just not able to function in the morning. It's like part of their biology at that time.
Yeah. And I'm pretty sure the studies were like very conclusive that having them not sleep deprived was like a dramatic improvement to their, learning and attendance and all that stuff.
What you're saying actually makes me I feel like I have a rebellious heart, even though I'm so like a rule follower. I'm like, don't break rules. But also I'm like, break all the rules, And I think that, but like in a way that's like, I don't know, peacekeeping, I guess. And our world has changed so much. Things are changing. People all have different kinds of jobs, which is wonderful. Like, you've got the possibilities are there and there's a lot of resistance to, you want to come up?
You gotta let go. Cat guest. Oh my God. Cat guest coming in.
That was so cute. Oh my God. Choking me. Our world and landscape is changing so much in the sense that we have a chance to rewrite like what jobs look like, what culture looks like, and identifying, things like some arbitrary reason that we have 40 hours a work week and some arbitrary reason why kids go to school in a certain way, and people are taking back their power, even if it is like homeschooling or being an entrepreneur. Like, I think the thing that made me so sad about Haute Couture dying, and other, all of these businesses, like all of these small businesses dying, it was like, you know, and granted, I'm seeing more of a resurgence of businesses coming back. People are seeming to feel a bit more hopeful, which is wonderful. But that is, like, I think one of the best ways that we can make sure we keep the integrity of our culture is to be able to put something out into the world that you actually care about, that you created, and that is yours. It's your offering. You know, it's not your offering to just donate your lifetime to some giant ass corporation who doesn't give a shit about you. And that's not everybody, you know, but there's just like enough of that going on that whether it's like looking at your work-life balance and figuring out what, if you don't have the opportunity to change that right now, like how would you, what small changes could you make to reclaim part of your actual life essence? Because that's what makes me sad when I see like, when I see people working or just living like what they think they're supposed to live like, the life right. that they've been told and our parents have told us and whatever. And I'm very grateful that my parents really were just kind of like, I mean, they did. They said, work for yourself if you can, because that's the best thing. And then also they were just like, encouraged me to pursue my passions, you know, and also gave me practical advice. But really it was more just kind of like, you can, if you can dream it, give it a shot, you know, and I'm very grateful for that. I maybe would have liked a little bit more instructions on how to do that, but the spirit, the essence is there.
Yeah, there is no instructions. There is, you know, the only place I've really seen, I mean, other than hearing podcasters talk about it, reading Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Work Week was really the only place where I heard terms specifically applying to this idea of, you know, they call it lifestyle design in the book, where it's like no one talks about that idea in school, right?
No.
Because college and high school are, I mean, high school barely gets you ready for college and college barely gets you ready for the real world. It's just a sliver of, you know, if you're working in the math or sciences, like, okay, go to college and get a PhD in those things and then work in that field. But for like the masses, it's like, it really didn't give people a roadmap other than the most obvious one, which is use your degree, you know, follow the rules and make a resume. Even though if everyone has the same resume, then no one has a resume that stands out, right? Which is right. why everyone's always struggling to get jobs.
Right.
And then you just kiss ass until you climb the corporate ladder and then you get a pension or whatever, which isn't even really a thing anymore.
Right.
Yeah. I think that it's really unfortunate that the COVID era hurt small businesses the most and corporations kind of got away with it. But on the bright side, I think it was like a kick in the pants to the regular people, just to society, that they don't have to work the way they were working. You know, especially if you're going to work, you know, at least 40 hours a week at a job you don't really like, and the government can still take it away from you, you're like, well, then what am I doing?
What am I doing?
Yeah, right. Yeah. Why am I working so hard at a thing that could also be taken away?
I don't know if you remember during COVID, there were those memes, that meme where the like little puppet guy, he's like looking to the side, like I don't know. I don't remember, but it's like it's like when everyone's like getting used to, I forget what it was, but it was like pandemic life is so new, and the thing's just like, oh, okay. And like, I related to that so much because I was like, pandemic life is kind of what it felt like when and during having Lyme disease. Like, I worked from home. I wasn't around people a lot. I like couldn't do a lot of things with people in a way. And I learned how to live like that in a way that was meaningful. So it was, I think from my perspective, it looked a lot like people coming to terms with that, en masse, right? And which is so hard. I mean, it was so hard doing it, you know, just in my own life. And I really have a lot of compassion for everybody just like coming to terms with it. And also it is a tremendous gift because it's like, you know, realizing like there was this life is precious, time is short. What the fuck are we doing, right? What am I doing with my life right now? Why would I, everyone kind of had like a dark night of the soul kind of moment in terms of that, you know, what is my life really about? I mean, I don't know that everybody did, but it seems like a lot of people reevaluated their choices and the why of what they're doing, which I think is so crucial. And, you know, again, comes back to, I don't think everybody needs to have their own small business. I think some people are perfectly happy working for somebody else, and I don't think there's anything wrong with that because we need teams. Sure. Right. Yeah. Like sometimes, like, you know, you just feel excited about working for somebody. What you want to be part of the team of what somebody else is doing, right? And maybe sometimes you're doing something and you're making good money and you know you're saving it up, you know you're putting in a certain amount of time, and then you're going to like go on and do the thing that you care about. Like there's, it's not like a judgment thing. It's just that if there is a call within you, if you are feeling called to step more into who you actually are, listen to it. You don't need to like quit your job about it necessarily, but you can, and this is where I go back to the jiu-jitsu thing. It's like long-term training. You show up. If you're interested in something, learn more about it. Just be curious. Like I said, I started this, you know, this podcast for multi-passionate, and then I keep playing with the word multi-curious, even though it sounds oddly sexual. So I am just passionate. Somehow does not sound multi-passionate.
Yeah, multi-curious is way worse. Multi-curious. You can't say
that. Yeah. You're like, really? Yeah, but curiosity, that's not as sexual as curious somehow. but the curiosity spirit is so important. Like, to me, that goes with creativity. And something I've talked about in terms of creativity is I think that exercising creativity or curiosity is exercising a way of thinking in your life. So even if you don't go ahead and, like, quit your job and do the thing, you're exercising thinking in a way that encourages something new insights, because you are allowing yourself to think that way and not just be like, this is what I'm supposed to do. And a lot of times people don't even know that they're doing what they think they're supposed to do because they haven't stopped and thought about it.
I haven't really thought about it. I think, yeah, I mean, that's probably what happened more during the COVID switch was obviously for some people, it was like a big esoteric like shift where it was like, okay, like what is my life about? Right. But on a smaller scale, probably for the majority of people, it was like just enough change to be like, you know, like I mentioned, my friends are lawyers, and it's like, well, most of their job is on the phone. So then when COVID happened and they're working from home, they're like, well, why did I need to go into an office at all? Right. If most of my job's on the phone. So then their whole like work life has kind of shifted, which then gives them more time at home with their families. And then presumably they've made changes that, you know, aren't the big ones. They're not like, okay, I'm quitting everything and becoming a chef, right? Like some people are going to make like dramatic shifts, but just that little shift is really helpful. If people can, just think about like, does this need to be the way it is, or is another way better?
Right.
Which, like you just said, would be like creativity would be the buzzword there, right? Like that's like a creative approach, I guess, right? Thinking outside the box or connecting dots that haven't been connected, which is easier said than done. But
totally,
you got to think about that kind of stuff instead of just charging ahead. And again, you have more time. You have more, time's not the right word. When you're sticking with the sustainability mindset, right? And you're doing things short term and long term, very intentional, very planned. You kind of, it like works time in for you to have those thoughts. Space, let's say. Mm-hmm, you have mental space to have creative thoughts because you're not just like charging full speed ahead with the thing. I got to work this many hours so that I can golf on Saturday or whatever people are doing, you know? If you just slow down just like a little bit and, you know, I mentioned a 4-hour work week. That's one of the ideas in there is that you can somehow do less hours, but make a bigger impact in what you're doing. So even if you're, whether you're working for yourself or working for somebody else, or it doesn't really matter, but sometimes if you pull back, you can do better. Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously a lot of people's jobs are just like you put in the hours and you get paid hourly and that's it. Right. Most hours worked, most money made.
Right. Right.
But I think for a lot of people, instead of just like trying to get bonus hours, maybe they could do a better job and get a raise and then not, you know what I mean? Yeah, that idea. Right. I mean,
You're saying being more intentional about it, like actually pausing to look. Our life, especially again, if you have kids and stuff, and we obviously don't have children, so we can't totally relate to that. But I imagine, and also just as quickly as life can go without children, I can only just extrapolate how quickly it goes, right? You're just like going from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next.
Yeah.
And there's not time to stop and think about, to evaluate anything. There's no time for reflection. Again, as you know, and being able to build a little bit of that time in, honestly, you know, one of the reasons I love breath work is you can create a lot of space, like you were saying, with just a few breaths. Like you can do the box breathing in the bathroom, maybe, you know, for a few minutes and give yourself a moment to shift, or put music on, put a song on. Like literally the fastest way to shift your consciousness for a second, to give yourself some space, is to put your headphones on and put a song on that will just shift you in a minute and allow something else to come in. I think, you know, I always talk about creativity as being like channeling. You're like communing with the creator, however, whatever word that is, that whatever that is to whoever's listening, you know, like it's a way to connect is really what I think it is. And, you know, if I'm going to be all like conspiratorial about it, I'm kind of like, they don't want us to, you know, have that time to connect, because it really does help us think outside of the framework that has been passed along through generations of like, this is how we do things. You know, if you allow yourself to do it differently, you're a weirdo and, you know, you're not following the plan, you right. know, but then we miss out on souls like David Lynch and stuff like that. Like, you know, we want,
right.
we need some weirdos. We need that.
But there definitely is, a tinfoil hat style yeah. conspiracy, probably for real at work, about, you know, keeping the education system and the work system the way it is, mm-hmm. so that people can just be output machines, right?
Machines, yeah.
If everyone was thinking creatively and doing their own thing, nothing would get accomplished, at least important things in the mind of our government. Right. Obviously, probably even more art would be made, and mm-hmm. more things would, you know, culture would change and shift, probably in a good way. And hopefully AI actually helps that.
I know. I was just thinking about that. Yeah.
There's definitely, I mean, I always think about that meme. It's not a meme. It was actually a clip from a newspaper, I think.
The girl who was like,
yeah, I want AI to do my dishes and laundry so I can make art, yeah. not for it to do my art and writing so I can do dishes and laundry.
Right.
Like, well, of course. Yeah, that's actually a very frustrating thing about some of these technologies. Like, they're impressive, but, you know, I feel fortunate that I chose a woodworking path over the graphic design path that I was very interested in. It's fun to do, but that industry is going to be like uprooted in the next so many years because AI is just like doing it for people,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And copywriting and like all those kinds of jobs are like going out the window. But also, like, a lot of factory jobs that people shouldn't be doing are also going out the window. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's the AI and
right, like it'll
robotics
shift.
Or, yeah, taking over things that I feel bad that people have to do at all,
right,
like
right,
fucking yeah. make. The window tint in a factory, or what, you know, whatever, yeah. whatever people are doing on a line,
right.
on an assembly line. So then those people have more options. I hope that it's a net positive and not.
I hope so.
Yeah,
Terminator 2.
Right. I hope it's not all the good jobs are taken and people end up doing weird middle ground stuff.
I know. And I think that's why, you know, I mean, of course there'll probably be some of both of that. Right. I think that, not like you said, not everybody can just like just find myself. Like we live in a very fortunate time and society to be able to even have these thoughts about like, what is my purpose and what do I want to contribute to whatever. Ma'am, there's a flame right there. You can't do that. She wants to get to you so bad. That's mm-hmm. so cute. Is he dead?
Yeah.
I think that something that you were saying earlier, where like, you know. Sometimes the shit job is a rite of passage, right? Like you do, but usually, you know, you're younger and you're just like, I hate this thing, and you do it and it teaches you a lot because you're like, all right, I'm not doing this anymore. You know, as
sure.
you get older, you kind of just cut the shit with a lot of things. You're like, I'm not doing that anymore. So there is part of that too. But again, I think it's about, you know, telling people, that's why I'm doing this, like to tell people like, hey, have you thought about trying to do this differently? Have you thought that maybe the things that your family told you about what life's supposed to be like, you could do your own take on that. You could take some of it. Some of it might resonate 100%. And some of it, you're like, why would I ever, it doesn't resonate. And instead of like beating yourself up about it and trying to fit in that thing your whole life, which is just going to lead you down a chaos path, you can stop and look at it and be like, oh, that's where that came from. I don't agree with it. I agree with this instead. And I'm going to go this way instead.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think, I hope that the younger generations, it seems like this idea already exists almost too far on the other side of the spectrum, because it definitely seems like current teenagers are very entitled in that they know.
Roasting them.
They are. They know that a lot of society is set up in a way that's bullshit.
Right, right.
Like they're aware of that, which I think is why things are so silly and absurdist, because they're like, the world is silly and absurd. Right.
You're all clowns. We're laughing at right. you. Yeah.
I'm hoping that like the work, the shit job, work ethic part to get started, the earned discipline part doesn't go away, because that is necessary.
It's necessary.
But then after that, you can make those kinds of decisions like, do I need to do everything the way that I've been told needs to be done?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, it's important, I think, the adversity of it's, I'm grateful that I had so much adversity in terms of health complications and all of that. Was I grateful at the time? No. Am I grateful on the days where I'm struggling with it? Absolutely not. But, you know, it really does ask you to just like dig deeper. And obviously you and I being martial artists, we like lean into that a lot. I think something that I was talking about on one of the other episodes that I did was something that you told me with jiu-jitsu, in terms of like, know when to be heavy, know when to be light, know when to go fast, know when to go slow. And for me, I think of that as like, in terms of life, baby girl, I think of that in terms of life, that it is the way to be present, right? Like that's how you're present when you're rolling. You've got, and that's one of the reasons we love jiu-jitsu, is that you're very present. You have to be dialed in to that moment. And also let your body, the things you've learned over years, just be in your body. But
right.
I feel an explosion in my lap about to happen with this kitty. Baby crawl.
Oh, she's freaking out.
All right.
All right.
Bye.
Bye.
I think applying that philosophy to life is really important too. Like, know when to set those aggressive short-term goals. Would, I guess, heavy, fast, I'm not sure which one that would be, but and then know when to make sure you take a break. Like, I know I come from my mom, who does not know how to take a break, and I'm very much like her in that sense, so I have to, like, force myself to, like, put everything down and stop working on things and just, like, be, even though I feel so uncomfortable about it most of the time, but I think that's like a way for people to engage with their life and have a better idea of when to push for something, when to chill about it, when to, you know, take action on an idea, when to like let it percolate a little bit more, is really about being present. And I think that that's, if this unconventional life path is calling to you, learning how to develop that skill is essential. It's absolutely essential, because otherwise you're going to be listening to all kinds of different opinions and books. Everyone, you know, as we started with this, there's like so many opinions, so many strategies, so many books or whatever.
Yeah,
And I think that, you know, truly anything is possible, right? You know, even if there's a loophole somebody found, there's other loopholes out there. Somebody's going to find them, and there'll be new loopholes to find, you know, and you can be the billion-dollar chef or whatever, you know, I don't know. But it really is about finding the way that you're going to relate to whatever that call is in your spirit, like whatever it is that you want to do. And you kind of just have to be with it, almost like these plants we're tending to, like, how's it growing today?
Well, you know? I mean, if you don't know, I think that that's really hard for people in general. I don't know if dudes more than women, maybe, but in general, it's like they don't stop to think about what they want. And even if they do, they're just like, I don't know. And I've gone through this too, where I'm like, I don't know what I want out of whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, mm-hmm. I think about the brief period of time I was in therapy for being lost, essentially, like not knowing what direction to head. Right. It's like being in the woods and you're like, I don't know where town is. Like, what do I just wander? Give me like some guidelines.
Yeah.
And the one thing that my therapist said that has stuck with me more than anything is he basically told me to stop trying to like logic it out. Like, don't try to rationalize where you're going. He was like, take data in the moment, like on a daily basis. He's like, throughout your day, he's like, I don't want you to worry about the future. He's like, think in the most present time as you can and just take in data, meaning like, when are you happiest during the day? When are you, do you like doing blank? Do you like, is it, you know what I mean? Like, what parts of your day are enjoyable, which aren't? What do you want more of? What do you want less of? He's like, really just hyper focus on what's happening and how you feel about it.
It's kind of funny because you sort of like get your analytics, but don't do it with logic. Get your logic out of here, but get your stats.
Right.
Your emotional stats, right?
Right. Because I wasn't thinking emotionally because I'm a very,
you're a logician.
Stoic. Yeah. I'm a logician. I was trying to like make sense of my life in like a puzzle pieces kind of way, but it doesn't quite work that way unless you know how you feel about things, and you don't know how you feel about things unless you slow down and take a minute and process that kind of stuff. And I think that was really helpful information to getting to where I'm at now, which is like I like the woodworking stuff. So it's an easy business endeavor to jump into because I know from paying attention that I enjoy, obviously not all of it. Some of it is work. Some of it's very messy and difficult and dangerous sometimes, but the parts that I paid attention to that I was like, oh, okay, like this moment is nice. Like, I like this part of this thing. How do I get more of it? Mm-hmm. And like, that's a good way to move forward and not think in terms of society, but think in terms of whatever path comes to mind when you're giving yourself like an end game, like an end, the long-term goal is, okay, how do I get more of this moment in my day? If that moment is hanging out with your cats, well, then you need to work from home. And then you're like, well, how do I work from home? You know what I mean? And then can like start to structure your career based on what you want your day to day to be, or at least your week, maybe, you know, maybe it's not every day. Like,
well, I think the two things come to mind when you say that. One is, I think likewise, when I was making some big life changes before, it was a couple years before you and I got together, and dealing with a lot of like I was very codependent and was just always in a space of like taking care of other people and not taking care of myself. And there's this woman who I love, Lisa A. Romano, and she's like super Long Island. And her vibe was so cozy to me at that time. She's great. But she does all this like work on narcissism and codependent stuff. And I would just like listen to her videos to kind of help me reframe because the thoughts that I was thinking were just all like, no, I should make sure I go and take care of the people who are clearly not, you know, it was a toxic situation and all of that. And it was really bad. And one of her things was, she was like, you have to ask yourself, how does that make me feel? And it sounds maybe to somebody that they're like, yeah, well, no shit. For me, that was revolutionary. I was like, what? How does it make me? It was so uncomfortable to even really make that my focus, which is basically what you're saying too. Like, how does that make me feel? How does that make you feel? And I think I realized it wasn't really asked that question a lot, just in general. So it was very foreign. And that was so helpful because then I was able to collect that data as well. I'm like, I don't like that. And I don't like it. Like, I don't like how this feels. I don't like how that feels. And I've asked myself this question, but how does that make me feel? Which is like, acknowledging myself in that moment. And maybe you can do something about it. Maybe you can't do something about it in that moment, but at least now you know for like future reference. And I think the other thing is I've been doing the 2B magnetic courses, you know, for like the past year or so. And one thing I love that they do is they talk about your authentic code. And what you just said is essentially what they talk about, where they're like, you know, identify the things that are part of your authentic code, like the code that is you, like wanting to spend time with my cats or my kids or, you know, the things that are important. I know you and I really are aiming to create something where we have a 3-day weekend, at least, you know, often, because it's a good amount of time to be able to like reset your energy for the week. Cause you and I both work hard. We just want to approach it. We do approach it in a sustainable way. So it's like, you know, recharge, be able to get out in nature, get the household things done, but not do it in such a way where you're just like rushing. And that's part of our code, is to do something like that. So I think that's really important. Again, it's like about giving people permission, right? Reminding people that they actually don't need permission. I'm just like, here, you can have your own permission to choose to do something differently, even if your family didn't do it that way, even if our culture doesn't do it that way. Like we need outliers. And we also, you know, it's fine too. If that doesn't, you know, some people, they're probably not listening to this, but you know, if they're like, no, I really love my 9 to 5, 40 hours a week, and it's my fucking jam. It's like, do you, Bo? Like that's cool too.
Yeah. I mean, some people do.
Yeah.
I had another thought and I lost it.
No!
I think that it's not... Yeah, obviously, it's easier said than done, right? To just like figure out everything you want and then do it, right? But part of, you know, if our overarching theme is the sustainability mindset, it is equal parts... like living in the present moment and planning for the future.
Mm-hmm.
It can't just be one or the other, right? I think they did, that's what I was going to say. I think they did some studies. Can't remember where or how or what. I just remember reading about these studies.
If you want, you can find it. I could put it in the show notes or something.
Yeah, maybe if we find it. But it was something about, they basically had a bunch of depression patients and... they had, I don't know if it was like a questionnaire that they filled out or if they just were like interviewed heavily, or I don't really remember, but they were making, at least whoever ran the study was attempting to make a correlation between not thinking in the present and having stronger depressive mindsets. So, because either, you know, a lot of depression is based in the past, mm-hmm. where people aren't letting go of a thing, even if it was, I mean, maybe for good reason, maybe it was some trauma or whatever, but, or they're like shameful about a thing, right? That's like past thinking.
Mm-hmm.
Like shame is like a past thinking thing. And that's strongly correlated with depression. And then I think the same is true of worry, right? So worry is a future problem.
Yeah. I always like the term future tripping, because that to me made me be like, right. I don't know why it stuck.
Yeah, so I think that if I remember correctly, it was a long time ago, I read this stuff, but basically like shame and worry were two major contributing factors to depression. And like I said, shame is past and worry is future. And when people think in present terms, they're much more content.
Mm-hmm.
Now, granted, you have to think long term, because if you don't plan, you're going to screw yourself somehow, right? Like you have
to. Right. You're just a free spirit. Like, I'm just going with the flow. And you're like, that's not working.
Right. Yeah. But it's equal parts. It's like our longevity plan isn't just to last the longest. It's last the longest and enjoy the thing we're doing, right? If it's training, it's like, okay, I want to have fun training. The ultimate longevity would be go and drill for like 2 minutes, a couple moves, and then leave so that your body stays completely, you know what I mean? Like you would dial it way back if your goal was just to do it until you're dead. But also, are you enjoying that time? Like, probably not. You have to like maximize it in the present.
Right.
Get the most out of it. Enjoy, you know, find the moments that you're like, oh yes, this is fun. This is why I like this.
Yeah.
Do that as much as you can but not so much that you can't do it more in the future. It's like,
right.
Yeah, you really have to like walk that line, that balance.
Well, you and I always reference Triforces, and I feel like this is another one, right? Like it's like reflect on the past to learn from it, be in the present to enjoy your life, to like actually live, to be engaged and absorbing the life that you have, and look ahead to make sure you can forge a good path, you know? And I think it's like, how do we be present though? And I think that there's many ways to be present. And I think it's fleeting personally, I'll say. I feel like I'm present in little moments, but I definitely have practiced a lot because, I mean, to be perfectly honest, I saw a lot of people go through a lot of trauma, like before I met you, like a lot of friends, like lose people and people die and stuff like that. And it's kind of like a very morbid way to be present, but sometimes that, you know, it's kind of like why you'll see like skull art, right? And why I used to use like skull charms for jewelry and stuff. It's a reminder of our fleeting, beautiful life, you know, and to things can change so quickly. And so a lot of times that helps me snap back into just like being like this moment is so cool. We've talked about doing this and I love that we're doing this. Like we made it and here, look at us, we're doing it. You know, that it doesn't always like stay super long, but, I kind of think a less morbid thing, right, is just like when the power's on, like we're like power's on, we're not thinking about it. When the power goes out 'cause a storm or something, you're like, shit, I really, you know, you're like, you appreciate it so hard then when that thing is gone. And I think a more healthy way probably to go around this or go about this is, I know there's a lot of like somatic practices where, and I'm not sure if it's somatic, but I've seen it in that a little bit, but just mindfulness practices, I guess I should say, where if you're feeling like you're future tripping or past tripping and you stop and smell, like notice whatever it is that you're smelling. Notice, like find all of the red in front of you right now, like in the room. Count all the red things. You know, what are you hearing? What are you touching? And just bring yourself to that actual moment. Again, sometimes it happens fleetingly, but it really builds up in a way that that's what we take with us. You know, that's what our lives are really about.
Yeah. I mean, it definitely is fleeting, but you can... I think we've both done a good job of like trying to maximize those moments, right? Because it is going to come and go. You're going to get right back into mm-hmm. the momentum of the grind of, oh shit, I got to figure out this thing for work. And, you know, mm-hmm. but I mean, this is like the very macho approach, but the.
It's okay. We're doing, I gave you like the touch things and smell things.
I think is it Jocko? Who says,
oh, damn, you're going.
discipline equals freedom, right?
Okay.
I think that idea is something we do, like the discipline part of that is, for example, this week we went on a walk that was not the most enjoyable. It was very overcast and very cold and windy.
Mm-hmm. And muddy. And
we could have got right back in the car, but we're like, no, outside time is important, mm-hmm, right? We, mm-hmm. you know, we're human beings, did not evolve indoors.
Right.
We got to get outside, and we pushed through and we walked like what, 3 miles or mm-hmm, something in the mm-hmm. end. But then when you get home and you're sitting in front of our fireplace, it's easy to have the moment mm-hmm. where you're like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like this is nice because you just went through the not nice
right.
part. Right. So, and that's the discipline is that's the training when we don't feel like training so that some night because you trained now you've learned new things or kept your body, your mobility at a high level. And then you go to train later and then everything's like jiving and you're mm-hmm, like on fire mm-hmm. and you're like, fuck, this is fun.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But it's because you did the part you didn't want to do right. that you can enjoy the moment later.
Right. Right.
So I think we do those things and it really helps be present.
Yeah. Discipline for sure. Definitely. And I think I want to say one thing about the training, cause I feel like we didn't articulate this before about with training and showing up and stuff like that. Like I think I know for me, I'll show up for training, one thing I tell myself is once I get warm, I can do anything. That's like my little mantra to myself, because usually it's just a matter of me getting warm.
It's always the hardest part.
It's always the hardest part. Now, afterwards, I just go back to, you know, probably not feeling so great. But the, you know, community, the fun, like we love our community so much. We have so much fun. So even if I don't have roles that like make me feel like a super badass, I at least had fun and moved my body, was with people. And I really try to just like, especially where I am with training, like, and I've actually noticed more. I mean, I got my brown belt at a time I didn't expect it. And I actually pulled back on training and was specifically just like, I'm just going to show up for class. I'm just going to like learn what I can, absorb things. I'm not going to examine my journey too hard right now. I'm just going to like, you know, be present when I'm at class and do what I can do and not give myself a hard time about it. And I ended up getting my brown belt like a lot earlier than I thought I was going to. And I think it was because I was just kind of like enjoying the process, but, you know, showing up and not pushing it too hard. Which for somebody like me, that was really, really great. That was such a nice lesson for me, because I have been raised to be like, you must work hard. And like, you know, that definitely is in me as well, which is great too. But I didn't having feeling like the work ethic needs to be like tip top while also having something like Lyme disease, where every day and sometimes half a day you're, you know, fucked up. The next half of the day you feel fine. And maybe you go back to feeling not good again. It's just kind of like, I just got to roll with whatever is happening right now. So I can't have too high of expectations of anything. I just have to show up and kind of see how it goes. And every now and then I'm like, oh, I really shouldn't be here. But that usually only happens like 3 times a year. So,
yeah, I mean, we could almost put like, yeah, we could kind of arbitrarily assign numbers to that idea. Like, and this is all, you know, again, a perfect analogy for the sustainability, longevity mindset is, instead of trying to train and give it 80 to 100% a couple times in a row, and then you're giving 10 to 20% because you just gave 80, you know what I mean? It's like instead of doing that at that time, exactly, you know, the time period you're talking about, you basically were like, okay, I can't give it 100% right now. 80, then 10, then 90, then 10, then whatever. You were basically just contributing like 50 to 60% every time, at least. Right? Right. Again, these are arbitrary numbers, but if you were to add those things up, like you can give 60% a lot more days in a month's time than you can if you're trying to give 100%. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So again, it worked out. You ended up getting to goals faster, mm-hmm, by pulling back, mm-hmm, which is counterintuitive to people, but that's why we continue to approach things that way, because you did it and it worked.
Yeah. Like, we've done a bunch feedback of things like that. Right. Yeah. Yeah. Things like that. Yeah. I mean, even with music this past year, you know, I've been working and getting into this, into the trailer industry and making friends, and basically, you know, it's creating relationships, right, and developing relationships. And I can't go 110% with that. That's creepy as shit. I would be like, hi, what do you need today? You know, you gotta like just be a nice person to work with and not too pushy, and but be consistent, you know. So it's like consistency. I always say consistency is magic. Like, it really consistency is the ingredient that goes with any kind of goal setting. Sustainability is just like staying consistent. And again, that consistency can be in a cycle. It doesn't need to be the same pattern, like the same, like, you know, metric each time, but there is a cycle, there's a rhythm to things. And it's like finding whatever that rhythm is for you right now. And also those rhythms change, right? Like, you and I are very seasonal. Again, in the summer, we have a totally different like approach to things than we do in the winter. In the winter, we're a lot more like, all right, let's, you know, right, get into these. It's freezing. It's been freezing for the past 3 days. We haven't left because it's a negative degrees. And we're all right, let's do the indoor things.
It's probably common to a degree. I don't know if people can articulate it, but people definitely approach things differently in different seasons, mm-hmm, just because things have shifted, you know, what activities that are available are different. And, mm-hmm, you know,
that's the thing. It's like about being mindful of how you're doing things, right? So it's right. like if you're listening and you're like, oh, wait, I do things seasonally. Like once you're aware of what it is that you maybe already are doing, then you can actually be more intentional about it. And I think that that's a lot of what you and I do. I mean, I know I'm existential to the hilt, as I talk about a lot. I'm like, I can take anything and make it. I'm like, what does this mean about life, you know? But it helps me examine myself, like, you know, it helps me examine like how I'm showing up in life. I'm laughing because it just gets a little out of hand sometimes, but yeah, it helps to examine like, all right, oh yeah, I do things seasonally, or like I do want to approach things more sustainably. Oh, I do some things kind of sustainably. Where do I want to add in those like authenticity code kind of things? Where do I want to add in the pieces that actually are really important to me, but I didn't ask myself how I feel about it, or how, or if that makes me feel good, and say, okay, yeah, I can actually put that in my life. It's not like a deal breaker. I can make sure I have more time to be outside, or more time with my kids or my family, or less time with my kids and my family, however that goes, you know?
Right.
Right. So I think, you know, all of this is like, we've obviously went over like a lot of points, a lot of mindsets, but I think that they're all really valuable pieces, you know?
Yeah, I think, I mean, there's probably plenty of other people out there that have their own approach mm-hmm. to the same ideas, right? Like the sustainability is the goal and this is how I get there. Mm-hmm. And I think we're discovering new ways of keeping that going all the time, mm-hmm. which is great because it seems like, at least so far, the feedback continues to support that idea. You know, it's, there doesn't seem to be any evidence that suggests the song of your life needs to be 190 BPMs all the time. Like it just doesn't, like,
right.
Like I said, there's not really any evidence to support that that's how you succeed. Cause
right. Or find happiness, or yeah. Even success. What even is like, right. To be, have a fulfilling life. Like, I feel like success is such a different word for everybody. And if they don't identify what that actually means to them, you know, we see plenty of people who seem successful, but they are fucking miserable.
So there's so many examples of that where it's like so-and-so, the CEO of what, you know, like how happy are CEOs? I'm going to guess that they're not doing great. A lot of them.
Right.
A lot of them are, but a lot of them aren't.
Right.
Because, you know, some people, maybe they're well suited for that life.
Sure,
maybe
sure.
They can just grind. You know, my dad has a friend who sleeps like 4 hours a night and it like isn't a problem for him because he has like the 1% gene of people that don't need to sleep more than, you know what I mean?
Right.
There are crazy outliers out there, right. But for the vast majority of people, I think that it doesn't end well if you don't find balance and sustainability.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's the way to do it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. It's not, if you're not, I think even before you get to any goal, it's important to figure out, and this is what I talked about in the one episode, like, what if nothing changes? How do you find happiness where you are? Right. Like, what if this just is what it is? Right. Then how do you find the essence of your life within that? And that's not to say that I accept that this is what it is. It's just saying, what if, like, if you had to just be in this space, you know, forever, how do you find your peace there? How do you welcome, encourage that peace? How do you find and welcome, encourage that happiness? And if you can identify that side and hone those skills while building the things that, you know, make life comfortable and quote unquote successful in terms of like, I have financial security or whatever, you know, when you get there, you're going to be in such a better space than if you are just trying to get there and then try to figure that out when you get there. Cause most likely you'll get there and then you'll screw things up because you didn't figure out your emotional state.
Right. 100%. I mean, that's the two sides of the coin. That's the, what we were just saying, the present and the future together is going to give you the ultimate mindset. Right. So like what you're just talking about is like one side of the coin is like, okay, if nothing changed, right. What is beautiful? What is appreciated? What is meaningful to you in the present? And then the other side of the coin is like, okay, well then how do I make those changes? How do I change my environment and get it more suited to what I want.
Right.
And that's the two sides of the coin. And then the microphones explode and the podcast is over.
So I feel like we covered a lot. We covered a lot of things. So thank you for joining me doing this. I obviously, you and I talk like this all the time without microphones. We just sit here and philosophize about life all the time.
Sometimes we hold microphones and they're not actually on. We just hold them.
We should.
We
have them. We've got these. Our setup will look better in future episodes. I love your perspective as always. I mean, it's the reason I fell in love with you for so many, like one of the biggest ones. And I think it's, I love your perspective so much, and you have such a really wonderful way of articulating, I think for me, like the male perspective in a way that is very grounded and, I don't know, it's very easy to understand the concepts that you bring to the table, which is why I wanted to have you on so we could like chat more. Cause I think that, you know, you've always done such a good job of if I'm telling you something and you kind of, boiling it down in a way that is a bit more clear. I mean, I obviously love all the words. I'll just say all the words. And then you're like, here's five that sum this up perfectly. And I'm like, but I think that you and I have really taken, many leaps. We've really, you know, I hate to be like, we've accomplished a lot in the 5 years almost that we've been together. I'm always like, accomplished brings you back to that, like efforting. It's not Moss Girl life. That's definitely Boss Girl life. But I think it's cool. Like we've definitely accomplished the things that we really care about, like, and have taken steps in directions that are quite frankly terrifying and have been terrifying and been very challenging, but are doing it in a way that is respectful to our souls, to be very dramatic about it. I think, you know, to be respectful to our lives. I feel like we really, took that seriously when we got together. We're like, let's really create something that is respectful to the life that we've been given. And I know I'm really passionate about passing that, just that thought along. I'm really passionate about just passing that thought along. I don't think it needs to be this like, we're going to make six figures tomorrow from this episode or whatever. Right. That all just doesn't resonate with me. That feels like so efforty. I think there's such a deeper meaning for all of us doing the things, the call to us, I think personally. And I don't think it's going to be super obvious. I think it's a subtle thing like nature. You know, we don't see all the roots that intertwine. We don't see all the creatures that are living in their ecosystem that creates everything else. We don't see all of those things, but they matter and they mean something. And I think I very firmly believe, and I think about a lot of people that we know that, you know, I just always want to be like, hey, do you know that you can maybe think about like whatever path it is you're on, what if that's the path you want to do? That's awesome. Just know that as you go, you can like examine it and try on, you know, things that maybe you're feeling afraid to do for some reason. And right. It's okay. Like none of us know what's going on and what we're doing,
for sure.
Where we are, like, you know, so why not? Why not just entertain, some open-minded thinking about it and see, you know, see what resonates with your spirit. Your spirit will let you know.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, to boil it down into the smallest amount of words.
You get five words. Okay.
I think that you mentioned rhythm earlier, and everyone's rhythm is different, but you have to find the rhythm that allows you to persist. I think that's way more than five words. It's like one sentence, though.
That was like eight words. That's so close. That's a beautiful. Find the rhythm that allows you to persist.
I think that's like the essence of the sustainability mindset, right? It's like we're always fine-tuning the rhythm that allows us to keep going, to get more of what we want.
And when you say fine-tuning, it's like I feel like there's never – you're just always adjusting the tuning.
Always,
you're just always adjusting those knobs.
I know that's unfortunately something that autoimmune disease has taught us is like you can dial in a protocol that works really well until you now have joint pain in somewhere else. And then, you know what I mean?
Something changes.
There's never the answer. Yeah.
Yeah.
The you can't just find the thing that works and then stick with it for the rest of your life. It's going to require constant adjustment.
But, mm-hmm. That's the mindfulness part of it.
Right. And yeah. What you just said, having your spirit will tell you, like, you'll, if you make the adjustments and give yourself time to reflect and think, find that mental space, and then you'll find your rhythm.
My babe. Thank you.
Yeah, baby. I love you.
I love you. Thank you for doing this.
Yeah.
Yeah. People are like, ew.
Ew, gross.
Ew, gross.
All right.
Okay.
Goodbye, everyone.
Thanks for being with us. We'll do this again. Okay. Bye.
Bye. Stop.